Been following along. We've been in the book of Nehemiah, walking through that, Nehemiah chapter 9 last week. And we ended off on Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 38, where they said, in view of all this, in view of what I said, in view of all that is great about God. And you know, in verses 7 through 31, they rehearsed their history and how God was with them. I mean, it's an amazing thing to remember how God is with us. And they talked about how God split the Red Sea so they could walk across dry land. And I encouraged you all to do that, to not only praise God, look up to God, but also to look back on how God has been with you as a family, to rehearse that often, to sit around the table or before bed to talk about and thank God for the ways he's been with you. And then I said that this Sunday we would have a covenant renewal service just as the people in Nehemiah had. They made a covenant to walk with God. And this can either be for those of us who are not walking with Jesus this morning, who have never made a commitment to follow God, or it could be for those of us who've been following God for many years, and we want to just say, Lord, I renew my vow to follow you. You know, sometimes some people renew their vows in marriage. And I think every morning we should wake up with hearts surrendered to say, Lord, I want to walk with you today. And so we want to do that together as a church. Remember that the church is a body. Amen? And that there is to be unity in the body. In fact, in Nehemiah, we see that there was unity. They came as one man, literally with one voice, wanting to make this covenant to walk with God. See, Nehemiah was always so concerned about that, right? Nehemiah was this great leader. He helped build this wall. But I've been saying all along, you can build a wall. Now, at the end of the day, you might have a big wall. You can build a great big church building. You might have a big, beautiful church building. But if hearts are not transformed, there's still a problem, isn't there? And so Nehemiah focuses on that. And so we're going to talk about this covenant today. You know, last Sunday, if you were here at the opening of my sermon, I dressed up in a sackcloth robe. How many of you were here and remember that? And I put mascara on my face and all over the place. And it was all just signifying how the people in the book of Nehemiah confessed to God. And they took their sin very seriously. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I just want you to know my heart as pastor. When I began to, you know, obviously I thought about that ahead of time and asked someone to make me that sackcloth robe and asked my wife to bring in some mascara and all that. And I really wanted to show a visual of how seriously and how humble the people were before God. But I did not, and I just want to say this, I did not anticipate what that would do to me. How God, in that simple act, would remind me of how serious my sin is. And I'm not saying you have to put on sackcloth every morning when you wake up or anything like that. But to just take some time to get real and honest before the Lord. And the Lord will do a great work in your life. Amen? In fact, the Lord continued to remind me all week long about his forgiveness in my own life. Because I got mascara on this microphone. And this little foam piece right here. You can't see it now, but it was all black after the service. And it took a lot of washing, several washes to get it out. But I'm just reminded again this morning, for those of us who are struggling, you know what? The Lord is faithful. He is here with us. He sees you. He knows you. And he's faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it only took one wash, and that was the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, so here we are with this service this morning. This word covenant, it's found in Scripture. Well, forms of it are found in Scripture. In the Old Testament, there were about four covenants that God made with his people. We think of, there's a covenant that God made with Noah, with King David, with the Israelites, with Abraham. Abraham is one of the probably most well-known covenants. In the book of Genesis, God made a covenant with Abraham that said, I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will come and dwell with you. You know, all the covenants that God made, here's the greatest thing, friends, is that these covenants were not dependent on people. These covenants were dependent on God keeping his promise. There's lots of different definitions we could probably define covenant with based on the different contexts of how that's used in Scripture. But probably at its most basic level, covenant is one in which God binds himself by his own oath and keeps his promises. Let me just say that again. A covenant that God makes is one in which God binds himself to his own oath and keeps his promise. So even when the Israelites walked away, and even when we walk away, it does not change. Yes, there are consequences. We see that in Scripture. We see consequences in our own life when we walk away. But it doesn't change God's covenant that he made with his people. Aren't you glad? That's good. That's good. That's good news this morning. You know, I want us all desperately, as a follower of Jesus along with you, to grow deeper in your walk with the Lord, a deeper love. As Paul said, I was praying this week. Paul said to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 5, I was reminded this of in our men's Bible study, Ephesians 5, 16 through 17. It says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And that's my prayer for us, that we would come to a deep understanding of what the Lord wants us to do. And so today we're going to participate in this covenant renewal service. This is not a new thing. This is an old thing. A lot of churches back in the 1700s practice this, usually around the new year. Maybe New Year's Eve, actually, is. Maybe some of you have been a part of those in the past. We saw how in Nehemiah 9, verse 38, how they made a covenant. We can read about that covenant in chapter 10 and what they covenanted to do. And then we also read about a covenant in 2 Kings. I'm going to read this for us. I think we've got a lot of scripture here for you on the screen. But 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, it says this. Just listen to these words. Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. There the king read to them the entire book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. The king took his place of authority beside the pillar and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. He pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. In this way, he confirmed all the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, and all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Did you hear that last part? And all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So this Sunday is not a Sunday where we merely just sit and listen to this guy up here talking. This is a Sunday where we participate as a community of God, giving our hearts again to the Lord. And so, as I began to pray about this Sunday, the question that popped up into my mind is, well, how do I continue walking out God's will for my life? How do I covenant with God? Well, look in your notes. The first thing I put in here comes from Psalm 103, 1 through 5. I keep my covenant with God when I continually proclaim his goodness. We see this over and over again in the book of Nehemiah. How many of you know how to celebrate goodness in your life? One person. Amen. Lois knows how to. Right? Jim knows how to. We have no problem celebrating. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate lots of things. We celebrate in sports, right? When our favorite team wins. We celebrate lots of things. We know how to celebrate. And the people in the book of Nehemiah, they know how to celebrate. They proclaimed the Lord's goodness. I mentioned that at the very beginning. Now, this doesn't mean we celebrate our bad things that happen. This doesn't mean that in our horrible circumstances we try to manufacture joy. Because remember, joy, true joy, does not come from our circumstances. Who does it come from? It comes from the Lord. And it comes from the Lord because God's goodness is unchanging, isn't it? It doesn't matter the circumstances, God's goodness is unchanging. Whether we are living in wealth or whether we're living in poverty, it doesn't change his goodness, does it? It's like one person said, whether you're living in a penthouse or an outhouse, God's goodness does not change. God's goodness does not change. So I want you to think back to this previous year. Have you experienced God's goodness in your life? Maybe it's as simple as God provided me with a place to live, or maybe it's even as dramatic as God saved my life, or maybe it's as dramatic as I've seen God's hand in the life of my family who is suffering from cancer. I wonder if this is not planned. I wonder if there's a person right now that would jump up out of their seat and say, I have seen the goodness of the Lord in my life in this past year. Is there a person that would like to testify to the God's goodness in my life? This is not planned, friends. And I always am afraid to do this because I'm like, is anyone going to say anything? But God told me to do this, and so we're going to do this.
Okay, so, like, God saved me from a car accident this last 2 weeks.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Say something. I don't usually speak in front of people, but I'm thankful every day. We got a really cruddy hill, about a 10% grade, and there's snow out. Just when the road got nice, then it snowed. But I thank God every day when I get to the top of the hill, and I thank God every day for my children, my baby. She is my life. So that's what
I'm thankful for. The Lord is my son David and his family starting to go to church now, and his daughter was tempting suicide, and so we got her into the ministry to help her with that. So I thank God for that. Amen.
Amen. Somebody else that would like to proclaim God's goodness. She saw me look at her.
We have been blessed with our beautiful, beautiful granddaughter, Sarah Elizabeth. And I was blessed to get to spend her first week with them. But there is a greater miracle happening because of this. We have a grandson also in Alaska who's 10 years old. We missed all of this when he was born. At their choice, at their request, we weren't grandparents, really. But when I sent the birth announcement and pictures, we got a sweet note back from our daughter-in-law, and it just gave me that hope. I claimed the word hope for my spiritual word for this year, and the Lord is already answering. He is good always.
Amen.
just came to my mind that God is good even when it doesn't seem good. Jill and Richie, our son is a pastor, and he accepted a position of becoming a lead pastor doing a church plant. And they thought they had their house sold, and they had their entire belongings packed and ready to go, and the guy backed out. So they're in their home on air mattresses and, you know, the nil, and, you know, just his attitude in all of this and his wife. It just, it's so awesome to see them trust in the Lord through this, and, you know, God is good, and praise him that, I mean, you parents of young children, when you're pouring into your kids, you know, blessings will come, and it's so awesome to look at your adult children trusting in the Lord and, you know, just living their life based on the provision that he has. And I'm just praise him this morning for them teaching us. I'm like, what? Who backed out? You're kidding me. Who is this person? I'm going to come find him. But anyway, it's just beautiful to watch their attitude. God is good.
Anyone else? Yes.
Lois, you've got 5 minutes. Oh my goodness, the goodness of God is so evident. In our last year, as most of you know, it's been crushing. Some of the things we faced that we've never walked through, for sure. The greatest being our son dealing with brain cancer, as you know. And the goodness of God is just blows me away. I mean, he had a seizure on a bed in a motel room instead of when he was driving a fire truck or driving his babies and his wife down the freeway. You know, it starts there. And then with having these amazing surgeons do his surgery, they come out and they say, we're not seeing deficits. We're not seeing, you know, we think we got clear margins. And then the devastating news that the real pathology said, this is an aggressive cancer. This is not one that people survive 14 months, you know, and this is my 31-year-old son and his beautiful family. And it's a wild type, and so it's going to be hard to fight it, and it's going to come back, and on and on, and just, you know, kind of not being able to breathe. And, you know, I don't think Jeff and I could even remember the first 3 months after that, hardly, you know. And just trusting God, you know, not feeling like our faith was shaken, but just being, okay, God, you're going to have to carry us and help us function and find some clarity to put one foot in front of the other. And I on my phone, I would have confirmed structure fires come up because then I could pray for my son differently. So then when those would bing, I just would start to cry. My son will never be a fireman again. He will never, you know, and just praying for a miracle. And you guys, he has been working back on shift, highly functional, highly strong. That is the grace of God. That is his kindness and his mercy. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And Josh gives the glory to God. He says, Mom, it's just crazy how you can feel people's prayers. You know it is all about him. And a dear friend of mine that's a genius that I went to private school with has come back into our lives. He has his own lab. He's got all these alternative medicine potentials along with the radiation, the chemo that's happening, and I just feel like that's a gift from God. I know it is. Yep. One more thing. Oh, goodness. And God has been so faithful to our hearts and our minds to protect them and just providing a way. And I want to thank this church family for their commitment to pray for Josh, to pray for our family, and to serve us so well. Just recently, I suffered a tibial plateau fracture. And you guys have been serving my family so well and loving on us and praying for us and bringing us food. And thank you so much.
Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. Anyone else? Yes. God is good, isn't he? Even when we have walked away, that's part of God's covenant, that we would always be his people, even when we have walked away from God. David understood God's goodness in actually Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Do we have that scripture up here, Psalm 103, 1 through 5? It says this, Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins, and he heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I love that beautiful picture that David gives here of the eagle being strong, the eagle not growing tired. And he says that when he proclaims God's goodness or praises God for what God is doing in his life, it says that his youth is renewed. How many of you would like your youth renewed? A lot of us here say amen to that. We want our youth renewed, and that's the way he's feeling when he proclaims his goodness. Try that once in a while. Man, we just had church here. That's what the church did. When they gathered together, they proclaimed his goodness. They rehearsed God's goodness in their lives. I just love what God is doing in our lives. And David understood that. We not only keep covenant with God as we proclaim his goodness always, no matter the circumstance. Yes, times are difficult and hard. Bad things happen, but it does not change his goodness. We also keep covenant with God when we continually confess sin. When we continually come before God and say, you know what, God? I agree with you. I am wrong. I've had a critical spirit in this area of my life, and I agree with you. That is wrong, and I confess to you as sin. And that's not always easy for us. I mean, who of you likes to admit that you're wrong? That's sometimes difficult. We can proclaim God's goodness, but sometimes it's difficult for us to confess. But all of us, right? Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. Some of you know here, because I'm doing this with some of you here, I've taken up this new sport of going to the range with some guys here, the shooting range, on Friday mornings. And it's just been so fun for me to be with other men from this church and to have a good time. And it's also been very frustrating to me as these men have taught me how to shoot. And I've realized something that, you know, we're shooting at this target. And I've realized that if I miss by just a couple inches, or if I miss by 2 feet, it's still a miss. And that's frustrating. But that's how the Bible describes sin, right? As missing the mark of God. And whether you just say, well, that was just a little mistake, or I just missed it by a little. No, that's sin. You know, sometimes I think that we don't take sin very seriously. I said that at the beginning when I dressed up in the sackcloth and put mascara all over my face. It became a serious thing for me. And sometimes we don't take sin seriously enough. We just say, well, I just missed it by a little bit. It's no big deal. But that's not how God views it. That's not how the Bible talks about sin. Joshua 1:18 says, whoever rebels against the Lord's commandment and disobeys his word shall be put to death. Ouch. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So because I desire to be in right relationship with God and to keep my covenant with God, to say, God, I want to follow you with my whole heart. I practice confession on a regular basis. When God brings to my mind in areas where I've sinned, I come before God asking his forgiveness. And as we've already said, he's faithful and just. I have a good friend who has a very cool Jeep that I just love. And a couple of summers ago, he was restoring this Jeep and repainting the Jeep. You know, it had some rust. It had some dents on it, and he was restoring that, and he restored the whole thing. But imagine if he only restored half of it, and you came to him and said, wow, that half that you restored looks really beautiful. But there's some, this other half here, there's some dents, and there's some rust and some areas that need to be smoothed out. What if he said, "What are you talking about?" No, it's beautiful. You would say, "No, I think you're a little bit deceived. You're not seeing the whole Jeep." 1 John 1:8-10, that says this: "If we say that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. If we have claimed we have not sinned, we are lying and calling God a liar, for he says we have sinned." Again, just as King David recognized his goodness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord in his life, he also recognized and reflected on his sin in missing the mark of God. Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5 says this: "When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, 'I will confess my rebellion to the Lord,' and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone." I don't know if you heard the contrast or see the contrast in this particular passage where David reflects on his sin, but he says, "When I refused to acknowledge my sin, I groaned all day and all night, and guilt was heavy on me." Anybody ever feel that way? When you refuse to acknowledge your sin. But then there's this other half. When he does acknowledge, right? Verse 5, "Finally, when I stopped trying to hide my guilt," what happened in his life? It says that "I experienced God's forgiveness." And not only did he experience God's forgiveness, it says, "All my guilt is gone." You know, that heavy weight of guilt, you know what I'm talking about. When he finally confessed, it was lifted from him. What a freeing feeling. And I've referenced this so many times this morning, but let me read it again. 1 John 1:9, "But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Christ died to wash away our sins." So no matter how dirty we may feel this morning, God is faithful and just as you acknowledge your sins before the Lord. So I keep covenant with God through regular confession in my life when God brings up, when God makes me aware of my sin. The third and final thing this morning is I keep covenant with God when I continually allow others to watch over me. What do I mean by that? Because we really don't like other people kind of watching over us or even confronting us. Look at Galatians 6:1-2. It says this out of the New Living Translation: "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ." You know, part of being a follower of Jesus is giving other people permission to speak into your life. Part of being a follower of Jesus and a member of the body of Christ is giving others the permission to speak into your life. Now, that doesn't mean that we who are humble and gentle, as the scripture points out, gives us the permission to be like police, right? To kind of watch over people like police or the FBI and look for people to screw up just so that we can correct them when they're wrong. No, that's not what Paul is saying. Let's not miss the words gentle and humble. But we do have a role in watching over our brothers and sisters. We do have a responsibility, and we do have role in saying, hey, I open up my life before my brothers and sisters so that they can gently and humbly correct me when I'm wrong. I'm so thankful for people in my own life who have the freedom to come to me and say, hey, can you rethink this? Can you look at this again in some way? And I want to challenge us as the body of Christ for there to be unity and for us to grow deeper with God and deeper with each other, to watch over one another in love. To watch over one another in love. You know, and so how do we do that? In Randy's class this morning, there was a reference made by, you know, so often we go up to somebody, and you probably did it here this morning, and you said, hey, how's it going? How you doing? But I wonder if we could ask a different question with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I wonder if we can ask a deeper question, like, how is it with your soul? How are you doing with the Lord? Tell me about the goodness of God in your life. Where are the areas in which I can pray for you? Because Galatians 1 and 2 says that's when we love God and we love others, that's when we are fulfilling the law of Christ, when we care for each other's burdens like that. Many times I've talked about a mentor that I had in college, and I've got some other mentors in my life, and they have permission to ask me really hard questions. But I wonder if we can get in the habit of this family of God asking each other some tough questions and giving permission to people to do that, to say, hey, how are you growing in the Lord this week? Or from a man to man, how have you loved your wife this week? Or from a woman to a woman, how have you loved your husband this week? Or as parents or grandparents, how have you loved your children this week? There's lots of questions that we can ask that we can share our burdens with one another. So I keep my covenant with God by doing lots of different things, but one is proclaiming the goodness of the Lord like we've done here this morning. And like David does in Scripture, we also keep our covenant with God when we regularly confess our sins. And we also keep covenant with God when we watch over people in love, not like police, but in love. Nothing against police this year, this morning, but in love. We have two people here this morning. Rich, would you come and help me just to get this lit off? We have two people here this morning that want to publicly declare Christ as Lord. Yeah, we have two people that here that want to publicly declare Christ as Lord and to make that public confession of his goodness in their covenant with God, to say, God, I want to walk with you always. And so, where did they go? Here they are. Sawyer and Amy Werner are here this morning, and we talked some time ago about them taking some steps of baptism, and I've asked them each just to share just real quick. Or as long as you want to talk for, I know it might be quick, but the goodness of God and why you're here before your family this morning getting baptized.
Good morning, I'm Sawyer. So back in my preteens, I was baptized, and just the changes throughout my life last, I guess, 5 years, with dealing with brain tumors and other different things, has kind of led me to this point of kind of going along with what Ryan was talking about today, of a covenant renewal, of just recommitting again after all these years.
Amazing. And you know what's amazing for me is that Sawyer was around when I was a youth pastor at this church, and so it's just awesome to see Sawyer taking this step and publicly declaring that this morning. And now we have Sawyer's beautiful bride, Amy, and she's going to share real quick with us.
So I have been feeling like I need to take that step and publicly declare Christ as my Savior and get baptized for a while. But I really don't like standing up in front of people, so I haven't done it. But that is the call in my heart, is to make that promise publicly.
Awesome. You know that Sawyer was baptized when he was very young. Did you say that? Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes those of us who are baptized when we were very young want to make that covenant with God again to renew that. And that's what we're doing here this morning. And so, hey, I didn't plan this either, but if there's others of you who want to renew that covenant, you want to get baptized, hey, we can find an extra. They can share their towel with you. We can just line right up. We can do that. So we're gonna do this. Hey, if there's any family or friends that wanna, you're here this morning. You're all here. Where's your husbands? All right, all right. Who wants to go first? Okay. It as far forward as you can. All right. Sawyer Werner, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me just pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Sawyer's life. God, I thank you how you have had your hand on Sawyer's life right from the very beginning. Lord, as we think about your goodness, Sawyer's life is a testimony of that. God, thank you for his heart that says, Lord, I want to follow you with everything I have. And God, we pray a blessing over Sawyer's life, that he would continue to regularly open up his heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amy Werner, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you as you wipe the water away. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for what you're doing in Amy's life. And God, what you have done in these past weeks as she has made this bold step in front of everyone to declare her faith publicly in you. God, something great is happening inside her, and you're doing that work. And we thank you and praise you for that. God, I thank you for this couple that desires to abide in you and have you live within them. Lord, I pray for Amy as she continues to serve you, Lord Jesus. God, give her new eyes to see the spiritually broken around her. And Lord, may you give her opportunity to shine the light that you have given her ever so brightly for this broken world. Lord, you have made this covenant with your people to live among us, and you did that through Jesus Christ who lives in Amy. And God, may we hear, as we've witnessed these baptisms today, renew our covenant with you to follow you always. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, as they're getting dried off, I'd invite you to stand. Now it's your turn. Your turn just before we close. And I want to again invite my friend Josh Unser to come up. And we are going to pray just as we proclaim God's goodness together, just as we confessed this morning. We are going to pray a covenant prayer together as the body of Christ. It's up here on the screen, so follow along. Josh is going to read where it says leader. I'm going to help us read where it says people, but I don't want to be the only voice. And so I'll get us started, and you can read along with the screen as it switches slides, right? Here we go.
Let us pray together.
My righteous God.
God requires that you rid yourself of every idol in your life.
From the bottom of my heart,
I hear now, renounce every idol in my life. I want to be with you, that I will not
Through Christ Jesus, God offers to be your God again, if you allow him to be.
Before all heaven and earth, I here now acknowledge you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as my Lord and God. I vow to give all myself, body and soul, to be your servant, and to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life.
Jesus Christ is the only way and means to God. God has given us Jesus as the way and means to salvation.
Jesus, I proclaim that you are the only way, truth, and life. I come to you hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, naked, unworthy to carry your sandals. I renounce my own unworthiness and vow that you are the Lord. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law.
Christ has told you that you must suffer with him.
Jesus, I here and now make this covenant with you and accept whatever comes in life. Through your grace, I believe that your promise is written in Scripture, that neither life nor death will separate me.
God has given holy laws as the rules of your life.
I here now willingly take on your yoke and burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I accept them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising I will strive into your mind. Not to allow myself to act anything I know to be my duty.
The Almighty God searches and knows you, even the thoughts of your heart.
O God, you know that we have made this covenant today in sincerity without deceit or reluctance. If you find anything false in us, guide us and help us to set it right. And now glory be to you, God the Father. You have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood. By your almighty power, you have turned my heart from sin to God. Through your infinite grace, I am your covenant servant. You are mine, and I am yours. So be it. May this covenant that I have made here on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Remain standing. We're going to have our worship team come and close us with a song. And before you leave, thank you, Josh, before you leave, the ushers will be at the door, and there's just this small little bookmark that we made this last week just to remind you of this covenant that you have renewed before the Lord. And so make sure, whether you leave upstairs or through those doors, to get that bookmark to remind you.